It's easier. I won't flip it around. All right. Before I get started, I'm just going to... Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your revelation, and we invite you here. I ask that you would open our hearts to hear this morning, to hear what it is that you're speaking. Lord, that we would catch hold of that frequency that you have right now, that you administer in our hearts, Lord, words that even are not even spoken here, Lord, but things that are working down into us. We invite you to be our teacher, our comforter, our counselor, our paraclete, the one who walks beside us and lifts us up. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I shared earlier, Stephanie shared the word that is really at the root of what God is after today, and that is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness across generations. Our God is good. Amen. He is incredibly good. I shared a couple of weeks ago about what it is to be in Christ. In Christ, being found in Christ, being a part of what Christ is doing, and the importance of recognizing that. There's a term that comes up in theology and especially in missiology. It's a Latin term, missio Dei. That's Dei is D-E-I, which if you're familiar with Latin, that is a root word for God. And the concept is that this is God's mission that's going forth. It's not our mission. It's His mission. Across time, God is on mission, and He is inviting us into mission with Him. Not to go do something for God, but to follow Him in His lead and how He directs us to bring forth His activity in the earth. Does that make sense? He's calling us into it. Now, in America, we have a particular challenge with that because we have been a nation that has been conceived in liberty and freedom and all great things, but there's an individuality in America that we come up in culturally that makes it challenging for us to understand the idea of surrendering our life and our will to a king. Now, all people who follow Christ have to come to an understanding of that. Some cultures are geared more towards that. Ours is not. So for us, that's an additional thing that we must overcome in learning to follow God. That's not a knock against you. That's awareness for us culturally. Okay? It's a certain challenge that we have before us. History. This is His story. Right? History. We like to think about my story. If you follow that same thread, that's mystery, right? A little bit of confusion about that. I'm a old late-night TV fan. Unsolved mysteries. Which usually ends up kind of disappointing and sad, and you don't really know what happened there. Somebody got lost in the woods, and nobody's known where they went since. We don't want to live a life of unsolved mystery. Now, that's not to discredit your story, because your story matters. But it's not the leading theme here in our lives. It is an element of it. Like I said, I like late night TV. History's mysteries, I like that a lot more. That's a pretty good one. When you think about God is creating history, and inside of that, our stories are a portion of what's going on. And it's important for us to go and seek those things out because they matter. There's so much that's covered that God's been building over time, layer upon layer, knowing the end from the beginning that we get to uncover in our lifetimes. It says in Proverbs that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. Our job is to dig. Our job is to dig and find and look and see, okay, God, where are you in this? What is your pathway in this? What's your plan in this? What is it that you have laid into this that we can come and see and pull forward in our time? I feel like I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about this word. It's been stirring in me for a little bit of time now, and there's about 15 different ways this thing could go this morning, so we'll find out what God wants to do. I think my notes are going to serve me in some ways, and other ways they may hamper me, so we'll find out. Down through history, God is the constant. He is the constant. Everything is about Him. Everything. This entire drama that is playing out across time, this cosmic drama, is all about Him. All of it is about Him. He set this entire thing in motion to prove who He is, to demonstrate who He is. In every tiny facet, all of it is to talk about who He is. All the hardship that happens, all the redemption that takes place, all the pain and all the healing is all about God. He is everlasting. He was before time. He is after time. He precedes time. He's outside of time. It's all about Him. He created all of this. That doesn't tend to be our focus as we're going through the day and we catch our finger on something and we bleed. God created all of this. It all exists because He breathed and it happened. His faithfulness from generation to generation is a theme that you will find throughout Scripture. You hear it all throughout the Psalms. We'll extol your faithfulness to generation. We'll tell the generations about who you are. Declare that the Lord is good. Taste and see that He is good. Over and over and over again. What are they telling us? He is good. He is faithful. He is true. Trust Him. Put your hope in the Lord. Follow His commands. Be led by Him. Follow Him. Praise Him. Seek Him and you will find Him. These are like little nuggets all along the way, little breadcrumbs for us to pick up and follow. Because God is playing something out here. He is overwatching all of history. He's leading it, He's guiding it, and He is going to bring it to a conclusion. Because He can. He created the whole thing. It's His story. And when we talk about His story, and we talk about history, and we talk about this earth and all that we face in it, we must remember that God has a kingdom. It's not only that He loves us. It's not only that He created us. It's not only that He rescues us. It's that He is a king of a kingdom. And He calls us to be His representatives. You're a dual citizen while you're here. But your primary citizenship is now of heaven if you've come to Jesus and said, "You are my king." From that, we have inheritance. Things come to us. We talk about generations. We have to recognize that God leaves inheritances through generations. And now, we of all generations, of all people, across time, across history, through the Bible, we have the greatest inheritance in that we get to inherit with Christ. We're co-heirs. We're co-heirs of the kingdom. He's our big brother. He is first and foremost. He's the one who shows us the way to whose Father? Our Father. But we tend to live very much below what we could be inheriting, what's sitting there, what's resting there for us. That's my introduction. I want to work in some of these themes this morning because there's some deep, rich stuff in here. And I'm probably not going to get through all of this in this sermon. There's probably going to be other ones that come because God is really working this soil right now in this time. God cares about inheritance. He cares that we care about inheritance too. I want you to think about the first natural-born sons in the earth, Cain and Abel. Remember these guys? One of them didn't make it past the interchange there, right? Why? What was it that Abel did that was different than Cain that caused them to have the conflict? Remember, Abel sacrificed before the Lord the first fruits of what he had. He said, how can I please God? Because I love God. I want to show God that I love him. I want to show that my life is surrendered to him. I'm going to give him the first fruits. And so he does. He sacrifices the first fruits of his flock. His brother Cain didn't do the same thing. He sacrificed. He went through the motions, but did he give his best? Did he give his first? He put his offering before the Lord. And whose was it that God accepted? Abel's. And Cain, out of jealousy for God's favor, killed his brother. He was jealous of God's favor, but he was unwilling to do what God had commanded him to do, had invited him into. All you got to do is this, and he was unwilling to do it. So he killed his brother out of jealousy for God's favor. See, God's favor rests on those who diligently seek him. His favor rests on those who inherit and take up that inheritance and keep moving it forward. Who keep saying, I'm going to keep coming to you, God. I know that my life is surrendered to you. I'm going to keep showing you. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I don't leave my life. You're not my co-pilot. It's not like you're Han Solo and God's Chewie. I mean, think about it. Chewie's faithful, isn't he? He's always there in a pinch. He knows his job well. He can do all the stuff. Sometimes it's hard to understand what he's saying. But God is not Chewie. He's not our co-pilot. I saw a sign recently when we were traveling. It says, if God's your co-pilot, I think it's time you switch seats. He's our king. He's our Lord. We follow him into battle. We can only win because the victory is his. But man, when we live in covenant relationship with God, look out. Look out. That becomes the guiding principle. That becomes the foundation of all we do. He says, come follow me. We follow him. We do the things that he says to do. What did Jesus say? I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what he tells me to do. I only say what he tells me to say. I'm living in perfect harmony with him. He's the leader. I'm the follower. Come follow me as I follow him. That's what we're called to do. God cares about inheritance. And he is the one who upholds those things. I'm going to talk a little bit here. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, because I think we need to read in to this discussion the greatness of God. This is from Isaiah 40. We're going to start in verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like what? Grasshoppers. The grasshoppers are out right now, by the way. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Who's really powerful in this situation? Does any ruler in this world stand a chance against that? I don't care how good you are. I don't care how smart you think you are, how powerful you think you are, how much influence you think you have. He blows on you, you wither like chaff, and you're gone. You only move and breathe because he allows you to. Every breath is a gift from him. And that's not a sinister thing, only because I allow you to. No, he gives you breath so that you can live. He is long-suffering. He wants things to play out in your life. He wants you to experience his love. He wants you to go and adventure with him. He wants you to follow him into the battle and experience victory and freedom in your life. He gives you breath to breathe. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to heaven. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. He's created this entire thing. The universe is still expanding. I mean, look at the stars in the sky. Just go out some night, look up at the stars in the sky. You can't count them. We don't know how many there are. We don't know where it all is all going. Think about just the complexity of our tiny speck of a planet that's here floating off in the middle of space. It's infinitesimally small. You'd think it's insignificant. And then we're down inside all of that. God's created this entire thing. My goodness. And inside all of that, he cares about us. He cares about what he's doing in us. He cares about the trajectory of history. He knows all the hairs on your head. He keeps count of them. I don't know why. It's getting easier for him with me. So I'm growing down here. I'm trying to balance. But he doesn't just care about the hairs on our head. He cares about how we feel. He cares that we just got hurt. He cares that we're trying to figure out how to move forward. He wants us to seek him. He wants to give us guidance. He wants to show himself to us. He cares about those things. Those are immaterial, but they matter. He's amazing. And we think this whole story is about us. We look at our time on the earth, and that's our scope. What am I going to be doing next year? What are we going to be doing? Am I going to have enough retirement? How are my kids going to do? All these types of things. They're the cares of our life, but they're not the everything. God has an entire story he is playing out, and he cares about those things for you too. And amidst all of that, we see this constant theme through history, through scripture, that says, talk about him, declare who he is. Let's look in Psalm 78. This is Asaph. It says, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things that are of old, things that we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. God wants us to give testimony of who he is. He wants to re-release that grace. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to pass that on for generations to come. He doesn't want them to have to rediscover it. He wants them to have the benefit of standing on those who have gone before that says, he is good. Trust him. Here's a step forward in life. Trust God. Don't try to do it on your own. Know that he's good. Keep following him. Pursue him. David, end of Psalms. Here he says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. David, who's considered probably one of the greatest kings of all time, knows that he has a king. He surrendered to him. His life is devoted to him, to try to rule in the same pattern that God rules. When Jesus was talking and asked by his disciples, how do we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's the first thing he does? Seek first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added. We have to remember that our king has a kingdom, and he wants that kingdom to emanate. He wants it to come and be represented by you guys. He wants it to be coming here into the earth and superimpose on top of everything else that is here. He wants us to bring that here. And he's looking for who it is that will follow him. Let's talk about Abraham for a minute. I love this story. And we, because we are in Christ, have been grafted in as descendants of Abraham. The blessing that came forth from him is in our lineage. You know, after the Israelites had come out of Egypt, God talks to them here in Deuteronomy. It says, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. That's a big statement. You were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. You know, if you go back into Exodus, I believe it's chapter 20, it's where we have the Ten Commandments. God is telling them, don't serve other gods. For those who hate me, I curse them for 3 to 4 generations, right? But for those who love me, I give blessings for 1,000 generations. And you're seeing that here. Love, covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. What does this scripture tell us? First, they were chosen. God was watching. He chose a man who would follow him. But he didn't choose him from amongst a great people. You were the least. You were the smallest. Let's go back to his calling of Abraham. This is in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Pay attention to how many times God says, I will, in this call. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. God is active. He is doing something. He is accomplishing a goal. Abram becomes an instrument of that. And it's a relational instrument. He's saying, come follow me, and I'm going to do this. And you will become this. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. Man, sounds like God's got his back. Right? And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. This is an act of faith. This is an act of obedience. This is him coming into that relationship with God saying, okay, I'll do that. I'll follow you. I'll be your man. And we see across his time on the earth all the testings and hardships he was put through as God ripped him out of the culture he had been in, and seated him and enveloped him in who he was, saying, you have to totally trust me. I'm going to bring you well beyond natural childbearing years to make you a great nation. So when God says in Deuteronomy, you are the fewest of all peoples, recognize that he was starting with literally nothing. Actually, almost backwards here, because if you go into Genesis 11:30, is where we learn that Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. There was no hope through them that they were going to be able to have any children. That's not a nation. That's a couple in love who are trying to move forward. There's so much challenge in that situation. And God sees it and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Think about what it must have been like for that man to have God stand him before the starry host and say, look up. That's my dream for you. You won't be able to count the descendants that are going to come from you. See, God talks about things that are not as though they were. And then he brings it in. That man had to trust him. We say Abraham is the father of faith. He kept following God. And even after God gave him Isaac, God says, come on up here. I want you to kill the boy and sacrifice him to me. Wow. And he was willing to do it. God was putting things to death in Abraham's heart in that situation because he had to prove, you are mine and I'm going to do this through you. Because Abram was willing to do that, God is the one who kept that oath and that covenant across the generations. Abraham lived his long life, but he died, and he's now gone. He can't keep guiding the course of history. He can't keep saying to others, hey, listen to God, keep following God, keep doing the things. His opportunity to follow God is now done. It's finished. But God, standing outside all of it, is still orchestrating this entire thing. He's faithful to Abraham still today, carrying out that covenant because he is faithful across all generations. He said, my promise is there, and I've kept my promise. Even though you didn't see it in your lifetime, I've kept my promise to you, and I'm still keeping my promise to you, and I'm going to continue to keep my promise to you because I am able. Look here in Psalm 105 at just how incredible God is. I'm going to go down here into verse 8. It says, he remembers his covenant forever, the promises he made for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan, as the portion you will inherit. And then he goes through here, if you read through this, he talks about the history of how he brought these people who were few and set up this whole plot to get them into Egypt, let them grow into this great nation. He even set Egypt against them so that they would leave. And then he proves himself through all these plagues until finally they're ready to kick them out with all this gold and silver and everything. Just get out of here, right? And then he brings them in all the way here at the end. He says he spread out, and this is in verse 39 and following, he says he spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. He's the one who did it. He's the one who did it. One man said, okay, I'll follow you. And then God did this. And along that way, we know that there were others who picked up that same thing and said, in my season, you're still playing this out. And I have the opportunity to lay hold of my inheritance and move that flag forward one more step, or I can just not do it. But there were others that kept saying, God is faithful. I was taught by my father and my mother that he is faithful and that I have a role in this and I get to continue to follow him. Those people helped that thing move forward, but it is God's activity that made it happen. He's still the one orchestrating the whole thing, and it's amazing at how he weaves things in along the way, all the time. Do you know that you were not born out of time? You weren't meant to be here in 1776. You weren't meant to be here in 1634 when they landed out here. You weren't meant for that time. You were meant for this time. It says so right here in Acts chapter 17. When Paul is in Athens and he's speaking to the Athenians in reference to this altar to an unknown God, he says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the world, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. He apportioned to you your time. He apportioned to you your boundaries, where you're going to be in the planet. He's created nations for you to live inside of, to influence. He's created cultures that would help shape and mold the way you think, because he wants to bring out himself in the midst of that. He is dedicated to proving himself out throughout history. We think about all those galaxies he's created and the fact that he's created you too. Why does he care about us so much? When he can do all that, he still cares about all this for us? He cares about what we think. He cares about how we feel. He cares that we said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Yes, Lord, I'll lay hold of that inheritance. Our time is so short. Some of the days feel like they last forever, but our time is so short. Moses says, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. He says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. There's only so much time we have here on this planet. If all else goes well, time will get you. It's just the way things have set up. Moses says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. 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 We want to know our Father. We want to know what he's doing. We want to partner with what is going on. We want to just have our lives be led by him so that we can be in alignment with what's going on, what he is doing. God has that eternal viewpoint, and he wants us to have that eternal viewpoint too. He says, I am playing out this cosmic reality, and your life is a breath. You are here and gone in the perspective of eternity, and even in the perspective of time and space. We're here and gone. You think about how much time we actually have to make a difference. We're going to be history in another 100 years. All of us. We're going to be history. There's going to be pictures of us, maybe. And maybe there's things that are written about us. But God cares about that history. And all that have come before us have lived in that time and in that season where they're alive and they have an opportunity to do something with God. They have an opportunity to lay hold of their inheritance. They have an opportunity to say, what is it you want to do, God? What is it you want to do with my life? What is it you want to bring forward? You're a part of a continuum of time. You're part of a continuum of threads of history that God has been stretching across time, where he's been telling his story, where he's been telling how good he is, how faithful he is, through lines and through histories of peoples across this planet. You've inherited so many things that have come down to you from those who have come before you. We just read about the history of an entire people because one person said yes to God. So you only have so much time here to make a difference. You can't continue to change the course of history after your breath is over. But what takes place in your lifetime can pivot the course of history and how that story plays out. See, God is going towards a goal. He will have his end. It will turn out the way he said it would because he is God. You have to choose whether you're going to be on his side of history or if you're going to be in that unsolved mystery. Where are you going to be? See, God's looking across time on who are those who are going to lay hold of their inheritance. Who are those who are going to hear what I was doing in generations past with peoples who covenanted with me and said, God, my life in you matters, and I choose to follow you. For whatever time I'm here, have your will in me. Have your will in me. Bless me. Let me be a blessing to those that are around me. Bless my family. Let your blessing pass through them for generation upon generation. I choose to follow you. I choose to have a righteous lineage. He cares about these things. He cares about it. You don't know everything that you've inherited. Sure, we have bad stuff that comes into us from those that came before us. There is sin in this world, and we deal with it. We're accustomed with the concept of generational curses, right? But there is also generational blessings, and that is greater than the curses. Amen. He desires mercy. He desires that stuff. I was just super excited. I got to church today or somewhere along the lines, and I looked at my verse of the day that came up from my Bible app. This is Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. He delights in showing mercy. He can't wait to give us mercy. He can't wait. He wants to release it all the time. Turn to me. I want to free you. I want to give you victory. I want to show you mercy. I know you don't deserve it. I don't care. Who's going to resonate with those promises and those covenants that came before? Because he is the one who's maintaining them. Your ancestors can't maintain them anymore. They're the cloud of witnesses that are saying, go, 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 say yes to God, say yes to God. Yay! They're the ones that saw God bring things into fruition in their lifetime of those that had come before them. His promises come true. And they may come true, something big may come true in your lifetime because you said, you know, God was making promises back there in my family or in my nation or in the Bible or somewhere along what I'm inheriting here, and I have the opportunity in my small blip of a life to say, God, I just want to resonate with that and agree with it. I want to agree that you're going to do great things here. And I want to surrender my life to whatever you have for me. So whatever you want to do, just tell me so that I can go do it. Because really, if I just got a blip of a lifetime, it really doesn't matter what I think should happen right now. I should be focused on you and what you're doing. I should be following everything that you're saying. And I want to see those things happen. The question for all of us today is this. Is God your co-pilot? If he's your co-pilot, switch seats. Switch seats. It's his adventure. It's his journey. It's his story he's telling. And he's calling you into it. Ask these questions. God, what is it that you want to bring to fruition in my lifetime? What are the promises of old that you want to bring into fruition in my lifetime? What are the things that I can agree with to help move along, that they would come to pass in years to come? How do you want me to pray? What do you want me to be praying about? What actions do you want me to be taking to add to what it is that you're doing? What covenants do you want to initiate in me that I will never see take place in my lifetime? You don't get to own the realization of his covenants. They're his ownership. They're his promises. They're his things to bring to fruition. He's the one who gets all the glory for it. And we get to be along for the ride. We, as his sons and daughters, get to say, Dad, we get to be part of your family business. What are we building? What are we doing? Where are we going? We have to have that multi-generational view. Proverbs 13:22 says this, a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. When we've come to the Lord, we don't look any longer at our life as just this one single thing. We are part of this whole thing. We can look at generations past and say we want to agree with them, but we can look at generations forward and say, what is it that I am setting in motion? And what is it that he wants me to be setting in motion for my family, for those that will come after me? And that's not just natural family, by the way. God sees things in a spiritual sense. You've inherited things spiritually, and you're able to pass things along spiritually. There will be people who hear your voice, who hear your words, that resonate with your spirit. They'll come follow you as you follow Jesus, and you have the opportunity to set things in motion in their lives that God is going to bring forward. Don't think this only happens through making babies, okay? It's the mechanism that God uses. But there are many people who need a father and need a mother. There are many people who need that touch of God through another human being that is not natural to them. Not natural family. But out of the spirit, there's bonds of affection that grow. Invest in those relationships. Because God is breathing grace over it. You carry favor. When you stand in your inheritance with the Lord, you carry favor with you. And each of us has favor demonstrated in different ways. Abel had favor. Cain was really jealous of that favor. Look for how it is that God has favored you. Look for it is how God has been giving you grace. Look for those means of favor in your life. And recognize that it's God's blessing to you and through you. You know, in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, it talks about those, recounts all these peoples, these significant times across Scripture of people who have followed the Lord in faith. And they endured very challenging things. Favor doesn't mean that it's easy. I love what Steph said this morning. She talked about God's faithfulness to her. in the midst of all the challenges and trials they've been facing this summer. This is real-time stuff. But she recognized his favor and his grace and his faithfulness to them through the midst of all of that. This is the real rub in our lives. This is where life is really real. It says here in Hebrews 11:39, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." God is making promises and covenants, and he's fulfilling them, and we may never see it in our lifetime. That's okay. It's okay, because the glory is his, it's not ours. But he gets to say, "Yep, see? I'm going to check that one off. 300 years later, I fulfilled that promise, and I was faithful to all those people through that entire course." This is something that I've been, in recognizing this, I've personally been looking back into my personal history, my personal genealogies, and I've been so excited about what I've been finding there. I'm not going to even talk about that stuff today. I just want to encourage you, look back at whose shoulders you're standing on. Because there are people in your history that have said yes to God. There's favor that's taking place in your life that you didn't earn. You're receiving blessings and inheritances. We get general things, but we also get specific things through our families. Look back, see what it is that God's been doing, and recognize that now is your time. Now is your time. It's your moment on the stage. It's your moment on scene to say, "God, what is it that you would have me do? What is it that you would have me do to honor the commitments of those that have come before me? What's the glory that you want to bring forward in my lifetime?" And then be looking forward. I'm going to read from Psalm 71, verses 15 through 18. Think of this as a prayer. This one's been resonating with me. He says, "My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." See where you are in this continuum. All of this has been happening before you. It's happening in your time, and it's going to be going on beyond you. I encourage all of us this morning to say, "God, let me know. Let me know that I'm walking with you, I'm following you, that my life is surrendered to you. That everything that you've placed in me, Lord, comes alive in you as you see fit for it. And let me be that next link that extols to the generations that come afterwards. The Lord is good. He is faithful from generation to generation. He has the victory. Freedom is in him. Liberty is in him." Psalm 71. On that note, will you stand? I love that we can laugh. Come on, this is good stuff. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you have been at work in ways that we will never know, but we can be excited and joyful when it is revealed to us just how much you have been working on our behalf, just how much you have been preparing for us, just how much you will do by how little we can offer. Lord, I ask that you would help us to be those who would hear your voice and that would be willing to turn, Lord. Lord, that we might be your means of launching things into the future in new ways. That we might resonate with your activity across time and that you would say, yes, I will do a work through my people here. Lord, I ask that individually we would see what you've been doing in our history and that we would follow you and allow you to just press that through us, Lord. Continue it on in our generation and launch it into the future. We thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to choose to lay down our lives and follow you. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, I bless all that are within the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet one another. Fellowship out there, if you need prayer for anything, I'd invite you to come forward here. If you need healing, you need to do some time with the Lord at the altar, please come forward. God bless you.